Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. I do want to encourage you to check out our other podcasts. Among those that we do have available are the war.greatdetectives.net. It was our World War II podcast, which I did mostly in 2013 and 2014 to coincide with the 70th anniversary of D-Day. It is a thorough examination of World War II, and by thorough, I mean 277 episodes. We start with the pre-war era and the isolationism and anti-war sentiment that persisted in America all the way through the war, and into how America changed in the post-war era. And it's all told through programs from the golden age of radio, whether it was comedies or dramas or music or, of course, news programs. It's 277 episodes. I think you'll enjoy it. If you're interested in that era, check it out, thewar.greatdetectives.net. Also, check out The Amazing World of Radio, amazing.greatdetectives.net. Features all of the summer series that have been voted on by our Patreon supporters, including our Summer of Bogart and Great Movies Over Radio, as well as our holiday programs. And then check out the video version of this podcast at videotheater.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of It's a Crime, Mr. Collins. The original air date is July the 15th of 1957, and this one is The Burnt Copper Powder.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins.
It surely is. After all, if your husband were a private detective, and he kept talking about the Burnt Beautiful, how would you know if he meant one of his beautiful clients or a corpse? You see, my husband's Greg Collins, the private detective, and he's kind of used to both beautiful clients and corpses, I mean. Oh, by the way, I'm Gail Collins, and I'll be back in a minute to set the stage for our next puzzling crime. Entitled, The Burnt Copper Powder.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins. Now tell me, Gail, was the body beautiful a corpse or a client?
Both.
You mean the client got herself murdered?
If you'll be patient, Mr. Little, I'll tell you all about it.
Okay, Gail, go right ahead.
Grace was at his office in San Francisco. I was out of town visiting my family. It was about 6 p.m. The lights of the Golden Gate Bridge were just beginning to wink at my husband. Naturally, he was desperately lonesome without me. So he called me long distance.
Gail! Gail, darling, can you hear me?
Perfectly, and stop shouting. They have perfected Mr. Bell's invention, you know.
You get my telegram?
It was very clever, Greg. How do you think of such things?
It's a cinch. You just sit in the telegraph office for 6 hours and chew a pencil, and eventually you work it out.
Greg, do me a favor while I'm away.
Anything at all.
When your next client comes in.
Yeah?
Soak him, clip him, clobberate him. I just saw a fur coat on Fifth Avenue.
I'll try, pal. Gotta call you later, darling. Here comes the client.
I hope it's a Rockefeller.
Bye, chum.
Bye, Greg.
Yes?
Mr. Collins?
Yes.
My name is Collins. Mrs. Jeff Collins. I'm from Hollywood. I've heard a great deal about your ability as a private detective, Mr. Collins. I flew up here purposely to see you.
What can I do for you?
Perhaps you'd like to see this check. As you can see, Mr. Collins, it's made out to you for $100,000. The check is perfect, except for the fact that I haven't signed it. I'm going to sign it, though, as soon as we make an agreement.
What sort of agreement, Mrs. Curry?
I understand you're a very clever man. This is going to take all the ability you have, and then some. My husband just died, Mr. Collins.
Yes, go on.
He was murdered.
And you're offering me $100,000 to find out who killed him, huh?
Oh, no. I can tell you who killed him.
Who did?
I did.
Just what do you expect of me, Mrs. Carey?
I'm going to tell you all the facts. We trace every incident of the crime. I'll cooperate with you in any way you wish. But I want you to see to it that it's impossible for the police to convict me. In other words, I want you to help me get away with it. Oh, I'll be suspected. I'll be questioned, I'm sure of that. But I must not be convicted. Leaves quite a margin for your ingenuity, Mr. Collins. Well, what's your answer? Are you going to throw me out of your office? Or will you join me for cocktails? Well, Mr. Collins, will you take the $100,000 to help me get away with murder?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Curry. No, I will not. In the first place, I'm a private detective who operates on the side of the law. If your story is true, you can find a dozen small fighter detectives who'd only be too glad to help you skip a murder rep. I do it for a lot less than you're offering. Some of them would do it just for a good tip on the 4th at Santa Anita. But I wouldn't touch it.
I'll make it $150,000.
You don't seem to understand that it isn't the money involved. But let me finish. In the second place, I don't believe a word of what you've said. This sounds to me as though, frankly, you're either out of your mind or playing some kind of practical joke.
All right, Mr. Collins. You want to be very old-fashioned and highly moral about this. We won't discuss it any further. I was just thinking.
Yeah?
Perhaps we could have cocktails anyway.
Mrs. Carey, I'm sure it would be delightful, but my wife...
You're married?
Yes, my wife just happens to be out of town.
Oh, that makes it perfect, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know.
You are old-fashioned, aren't you? What are you going to do tonight? Play chess at an old man's club?
No, I
don't usually have this much trouble with men.
I can see why. I think you better go along without me, Mrs. Curry.
If you change your mind, I'll be at the champagne room.
Hello, Gail. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Gail?
Of course I can, Greg. Why do men feel obliged to scream into long-distance phones? As though they were trying to throw their voices 3,000 miles.
I turned down her invitation, Gail.
That's wonderful. That's very fine of you. And that...
But now I'm going to see her.
That's terrible.
She told the truth, Gail. It wasn't a gag. I have the latest edition of the paper here. Listen to the headline. Movie magnate murdered. Jeff Curry stabbed to death on studio lot.
The papers say anything else?
Her 18-year-old daughter is mixed up in it. Her name's Marjorie. So is her husband's partner, Benny Lampard.
Benny Lampard? Don't they make quickie pictures in Gower Gulch?
Right. I've got to straighten this out, Gail.
Keep your mind on the case, Bob, or I'll come home on the next plane and straighten you out.
Well, call me tomorrow. I'm going to the champagne room.
Aren't you going to tell me you love me?
I love you.
What?
I love you.
Just the line I want to hear. Now he doesn't shout, he whispers. Goodbye, Gregory Collins.
Goodbye, Gail.
And like I say here on Broadway, don't call me, I'll call you, you crazy mixed-up detective.
Of course, I didn't realize at that stage that Greg was going to get himself mixed up with some very dangerous people. Keep your ears pinned. We'll be back in a minute with more of our story.
I see you've changed your mind, Mr. Collins.
Yes, I just read the evening paper, Mrs. Carey.
Then you're taking up my offer.
No, I don't want the money. I suggest you give it to charity. It'd buy a lot of food for those hungry youngsters in Europe. I'm here out of curiosity.
Well, I think I can answer all of your questions. My husband was impossible. I loathed Jeff. He treated our daughter Marjorie horribly.
In what way?
Poor child was in her room every night, crying her eyes out. Jeff was a drunkard. He was promiscuous. He ruined the lives of a dozen people in Hollywood. Remember Ted Morton, the movie actor? Ted committed suicide because of Jeff.
Mrs. Curry, suppose you tell me the details of the actual murder.
The other night, I went to meet Jeff at the studio on Gower Street. It was deserted. He was on the set by himself. We quarreled all week. I was miserable. I was in a mood to do practically anything to get Jeff out of my life. As usual, he was vulgar and nasty. Finally, he slapped my face.
Nice guy.
I got terribly excited. There was a knife on the set. They were using it in one of the scenes. I grabbed it. We struggled. And then Jeff slipped the knife. I dug the knife into him.
Ever heard of fingerprints, Mrs. Carey?
I was fortunate. I was wearing gloves, so there weren't any fingerprints. Nobody seen me come in. I sneaked out and took a cab home, and that was that.
Mrs. Curry, don't you think if you faced this and told your story to a jury, you'd be safe and risking clemency?
Mr. Collins, I have a daughter. Marjorie is my whole life. I wouldn't drag her through a murder trial if it cost me every penny I had. Besides, if I were convicted, this child would have a mother who had gone to the electric chair. That's why you've got to help me.
What do you suggest I should do?
We could fly to Hollywood on the next plane. I'm sure your wife would forgive you, since you were going on business.
Well, Gail's not the jealous type. Not much.
I think you'd like my place. I don't imagine you're often called on a case where you can mix business with the moonlight swimming.
Hello, Gail.
Go ahead, Greg. Where are you now?
I'm in Hollywood.
Wow. Tell Lana and Ava to calm down. There'll be enough to go around for everybody. What's with the killing?
From the airport, we drove to Mrs. Carey's estate.
Fancy?
Even the cocktail lounge had a cocktail lounge. Architecture, Frank Lloyd Wright. Interiors, Dorothy Draper. Three tennis courts, swimming pool. Shangri-La. These people have more money than Bing Crosby. Mrs. Curry introduced me to her daughter Marjorie and left us alone. Marjorie looked like a teenager on the cover of an expensive magazine. She took me for a ride in her convertible. You didn't get along very well with your father, I understand, Marjorie.
Well, Mr. Callan, Daddy was... Well, to be honest with you, he was a pretty tough problem.
Did you see him that night before he died?
No, I didn't.
You live with your folks all year round?
No, I've been away at school. This fall, I'm going to college in the East.
How about your father's partner, Benny Lampard? They get along with each other?
Yeah. Isn't that strange? Benny was practically an ogre to everybody but Benny.
What's your stuff for, Marjorie?
I thought you might like this view. If you get out of the car and go over to that stone wall, you get a gorgeous view of the Pacific. It's a romantic night, isn't it? Great big moon.
Got a boyfriend, won't you?
No one special. Boys in town here are too young for me. I like men who are older than I am.
I see.
I like a man who's mature, sort of the water pigeon type. Like you, Mr. Collins.
But he has some gray hairs. He's older than I am.
Oh, yes, I guess he is. Well, I do like him too old. You're just about the right type. What are you frowning about? What are you thinking?
Like mother, like daughter. You come from a very interesting family, Marjorie. Everybody has a one-track mind.
Oh, isn't the moonlight on the Pacific just so gorgeous and dreamy?
Yeah, yes. I think we better get back to the house, fast. You listening, Gail?
I'm listening, but I'm not liking.
Well, you can see what I was up against. But I concentrated hard on the facts in the case. I wasn't responding to this girl at all.
What did you say?
This girl was getting nowhere with me.
That's funny. I thought you said the girl was getting nowhere with you. That I could never believe.
Yeah, well, I decided to pay a visit to that studio where Jeff Curry was stabbed. The police had locked it up, but I got a pass and decided to give it the once over. It was very late at night. The studio was deserted. The set was topsy-turvy. You could see there'd been a struggle. I found two glasses. One of them had a lipstick smudge. I put it in my pocket. I was going to see if it matched the brand Mrs. Curry uses. While I was examining the bloodstains on the floor where Jeff Curry had died, I thought I heard a noise. I waited, looked around, saw nothing. I heard it again. I turned my flashlight toward the back of the set, then toward the cameras, the sound booth. Still saw nothing. Then as I was about to turn off the flashlight, I saw a face. A man was sneaking up behind me. What the...
Sorry, Mr. Collie.
You can just imagine how I felt when I heard Greg tell me that on the telephone. But just stand by, friends. In a minute, we'll bring you the climax of the case.
Hello. Hello, you there, Gail?
Of course I'm here, you nut. Tell me what happened next.
Well, Gail, I don't have to tell you. A sock on a coconut with a blackjack is a sure cure for insomnia. I was out cold. When I woke up, I found myself in a small, dirty bedroom. I could see headlights passing frequently by the window, though I knew I was near a highway. A man, extremely well-dressed and impressive-looking, was sitting by the bed with a gun in his hand.
Allow me to introduce myself, Mr. Collins. I'm Benny Lampard.
Mr. Lampard, what's the idea of bouncing me on the head with a blackjack? It's quite a bump.
I had no other alternative. I was afraid you might not come with me or listen to me. We're at a motel, Mr. Collins, about 10 or 15 miles out of town. You're going to sit there and answer my questions, Mr. Collins, or I'll put every one of these bullets into you.
You're Jeff Curry's partner, aren't you?
That's right. And you're working for his wife, who's trying to get out of the rap for having killed him. You're probably getting a fortune to rig it, too.
I'm not getting a cent. I'm just interested in establishing what actually happened.
You're not getting paid for it at all?
She offered me $100,000. I turned it down.
Why?
If she's really guilty, I'll find out soon enough. I'll be the first man to tell the DA about it, too.
She is guilty. That's what you've got to believe. That's what you've got to prove. She mustn't get away with this. Jeff was a wonderful man.
I've been told quite differently.
By Mrs. Corey?
And Marjorie. They made him out a combination of Boris Karloff and Simon Legree.
Well, he did treat Marjorie pretty roughly.
What's your stake in this, Lampard?
Seeing that the woman who killed my partner dies for it.
Got any ideas about how you can prove it one way or another, so that a smart lawyer couldn't rip it to pieces in court?
Motive, Mr. Collins. In Jeff's will, Mrs. Corey inherits $500,000.
No wonder she was hiring detectives at $100,000 a clip. Still won't do, Mr. Lampard. We need scientific facts. Evidence you can get your hands on.
That's your business. But listen to me and get this straight. I'll be watching you every minute. I'll be right behind you. And if you've been lying to me, if you're finagling around to fix this so that Marjorie's mother gets away with it, I'll kill you, Mr. Collins.
Quite a cute predicament, Gail. If I nailed Mrs. Curry for the crime, I'd ruin her daughter's life. If I didn't, Lampard would see to it that I was lying around somewhere pushing up daisies.
What did you do next?
Well, I checked the lipstick on the glass I had taken away from the scene of the killing. Using a technique I'd been taught by a friendly pickpocket I once arrested, I lifted the lipstick from Mrs. Curry's handbag. Then at police headquarters, a friend, the chemist, gave me the report.
Well, there it is, Greg. The lipstick on that glass is the same brand that Mrs. Curry uses.
That doesn't tie this up in a neat package, though, Doc. Even though Mrs. Curry was at the scene of the murder, someone else could have stabbed Jeff.
Yeah, but who? You know, Greg, I've been wondering. Why did Curry leave all his money to his wife? Wouldn't he have left something to his daughter?
He didn't get along with his daughter, Doc.
Yeah, maybe so.
I know, Doc. You've got a theory about murder once removed. In other words, Mrs. Curry is covering up. She didn't kill her husband. Marjorie did. Yeah, Marjorie could have figured it this way. She gets rid of her father. Her mother obviously gets the rap. Then little Marjorie's left with $500,000.
Yeah, but she's such a sweet kid.
There's one way to find out, Doc. I'm going to have a whirl at it.
What are you going to do?
Lift a lipstick from Marjorie's handbag, too.
Well, Gray, you still on that phone?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? What's this card you're going to play?
I'm going back to see Marjorie.
I should have known there'd be an excuse to do that.
Now, look, I know Jeff struggled with his murderer. From dancing with you, I know if Jeff fell under a woman a while that way, some of her face powder might come off on his suit. I have to get a sample of Marjorie's face powder.
From her boudoir, no doubt.
No. I'm going to take her out on her convertible again. Now, don't blow your top, Gail.
I know. It's all in the line of duty. I'm coming home on the next plane.
But I promise to behave. It's my only chance to get that clue.
If anything goes wrong with that gimmick, I'll poison you, Gregory Collins. Good night, Gregory Collins.
Good night, Lucrezia Borgia. From this hill. Come here, Marjorie.
Mr. Collins. Oh.
Collins.
Yes, Mr. Lampard?
I saw you drop Marjorie at the house. Where are you going?
To the morgue. You see, Mr. Lampard, I found out that both Marjorie and her mother used the same lipstick. Therefore, the smear on the glass near Jeff's body is useless. So I thought I'd try matching face powder. There's a powder spot on Jeff's suit. I saw it in the morgue. And I have a nice sample of Marjorie's powder here on my suit. Never mind how I got it. It's burnt copper, see? Now I'm going to see if the two samples match. If they do, I'm sorry. But Mrs. Curry won't die for that murder. Her sweet daughter Marjorie will.
You don't have to go to the morgue, Mr. Collins. I was afraid that sooner or later you'd get to this point. You'll find the two samples do match.
Using your gun again, Mr. Lampard?
Yes, it's in my pocket. Marjorie killed her father, Mr. Collins, and I helped her to do it. Now we're going back to the house, and we're going to kill you. Start walking, Mr. Collins.
Which way?
Walk straight to the Corey's house. And don't try anything. I'd just as leave shoot you down here in the street.
Benny, what are you doing with that gun? Mr. Collins, what's this all about?
What's been happening, Benny?
You got wise, Marjorie. Get your things, sweetheart. We're leaving.
I thought he was poking around too much.
Benny, put down that gun and listen to me. Marjorie, dear, please. You've got to listen to your mother. I know you killed Jeff. I hired Collins to cover up for us. I thought the police would arrest me. Collins would get me off and they'd never suspect you. I did it for you, Marjorie.
You did nothing for me. Nobody ever did. Benny's the only one who ever cared about me. Benny taught me things. Benny showed me how to live. I hated it here in this house. I wanted to get away with Benny.
Take it easy, Margie, honey. Now, come on, get your things. We can hop a plane to Canada. These two will never talk. I'm going to fix that.
I wanted to get away with Benny. So we worked it out. I'd kill Dad. You'd die for it. And we'd get all the money. The money he cheated Benny out of in the first place.
You wanted to do that to me. Your own mother.
There isn't time for playing hearts and flowers now, Mother dear. Yes, I wanted to do that to you because I'd do it to anybody that gets in my way.
Get your things, Marjorie. Hurry. I told you I'd take care of your mother and Collins, too.
You're not getting out of here, Marjorie. I won't let you go.
Take your hands off me. Let go.
I'll stop that.
Let go of my dress.
Don't shoot. Marjorie, I didn't mean it. I meant to hit your mother. Marjorie.
You killed him, Mr. Lampard. I'll take that gun. That's better. You all right, Mrs. Curry?
Yes, Mr. Collins. Now that it's all over, I'm all right. This isn't the way I hoped it would work out. This isn't the way I hoped it would work out at all. Oh, Marjorie. Marjorie!
Hello? Hello? Hey, Gail? Operator! Operator, you cut me off!
1 moment, sir. Yes, Greg?
Well, now you know the whole story, darling.
Don't you darling me, Mr. whatever your name is.
Oh, I know what's bothering you. Did I have to kiss Marjorie, huh?
It's the only aspect of the case that isn't quite clear to me.
Well, how else could I get that vital clue?
I have two things to say to you. You're a brilliant detective, and...
And what?
And I hate you.
Fine thing. Man's lonesome. Wife's away. Misses her terribly. Wants a few minutes on the phone to console himself. She says, I hate you.
Hate you? I loathe you. You should be shot at dawn. Without a blindfold, too.
Well, it...
Fast rocket to the moon. Very dangerous. You, they should put in the rocket.
Hey, Gail, I told you... Hello? Hello, Gail. Did you hang up? Hey, Gail, can you hear me? Hey, but will you stop this nonsense and tell me you love me? Do you love me, Gail? Gail Collins, do you love your husband?
I am sorry, sir. We cannot give out that information.
Don't go away. In just a minute, we'll be back with you.
Well, folks, Gert and I hope you've enjoyed our adventure, the burnt copper powder. Be sure to visit us next time for another Puzzle in Murder. For where there is crime and romance, there you'll find Mr.
and Mrs. Collins.
Welcome back. Well, this is an interesting episode in that I mentioned when we first started the series that the American version was essentially a version of The Adventures of the Abbots that didn't keep the same character names, but otherwise remained essentially the same. And this episode is proof of that, as this script was based on a script for the Abbots. That we actually have the program on file. We played it quite a while back. It was episode 331. And essentially the same plot. I do think the acting was better on that one, but the script was absolutely true. And I do know that some listeners really are taken aback by Gene's jealousness. Or I should say Gail's jealousness, because we're talking about the Collins. But I will say that the number of times, you know, it's definitely suspicious when your husband finds just so many excuses to be close to other women. Though it was fun to have an episode where Greg, you know, pretty much operated relatively independently. All right. Well, listener comments and feedback, and we want to go to Twitter now. Micah writes over on Twitter, I've discovered classic radio, shows from a bygone era that include adverts from wartime. It's a joy. And says, at Radio Detectives, thank you. And also tagged a friend. Thank you so much, Micah. I'm glad you're enjoying the show. Then we have a Facebook recommendation from Rongi. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. This is the best way to improve one's English. English is officially my second language, but listening to this channel brings it up to 1.5. Just love these old stories, sitting aside the phone, knitting and listening, just like in real life happened. Thank you from the Alaskan winter. Well, thank you so much, Rongi. I appreciate your comment and your recommendation. All right. I also want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. I want to go ahead and thank Gretchen. Gretchen has been one of our Patreon supporters since September 2018, currently supporting us at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support, Gretchen. And that will do it for now. Join us back here tomorrow for Rocky Jordan. Next Tuesday, another episode of It's a Crime, Mr. Collins. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.